In Ireland, nothing gets us talking like lions.
Tea?
Small talk.
Well, Jimmy, shocking weather we're having.
Big talk.
Even I could have played county. Office talk.
I'm MIA in the AM, but I'll circle back on the KPIs.
Real talk.
Milk before tea? Should be a criminal offence.
You could say we talk too much.
But the truth is,
we don't talk nearly enough. Lions puts the talk into tea.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Jason Barnes from Georgia in the US is a drummer and one of the fastest drummers on the planet. And that's despite the fact that about 14 years ago, Jason lost an arm in an accident. Good afternoon, Jason.
Hey, good afternoon. How's it going?
Not too bad. So tell us something of your musical background. You came from a pretty musical family.
So I was pretty much raised in the music scene my whole life. My dad was a well-known guitar player in Australia. And so I grew up watching him play guitar. And so music's always been kind of a strong point in my life. I started playing guitar when I was young, 11 or 12. And it wasn't really my strong suit. And then around the time I was 15, my parents had bought me a drum kit for Christmas. And I picked it up pretty immediately and kind of figured out that was my passion.
Yeah. And so, and prior to the accident, you were in two different bands, as I understand it.
I played in a few different bands growing up. You know, some of them had toured, some of them were just garage bands. I played every type of genre. I started out playing blues, and then I had joined a metal band and was actually playing drums and bass for them at different times. And then I had also started a reggae band. And so two polar opposites there.
Yeah. Wow. You were busy. So the accident in which you lost your arm, you were electrocuted.
Yes, I was involved in an electric shock at work when I was 22 in 2012. The job I had at the time was cleaning restaurant exhaust. And so I was up on a roof. Wrong place, wrong time. A transformer exploded. The job we had, we used pressure washers, and so we used rubber waders, rubber boots to keep our feet dry. And so I wasn't grounded. And so when you're not grounded is when the electricity does the most damage. If it can't pass through you freely, it will force its way out. And so it forced its way out of the right side of my body, which ultimately resulted in me being hospitalized for about 5 weeks and eventually the amputation of my right hand.
Yeah, and they gave you the choice whether to try to save it or to amputate.
Yeah. We had done about six surgeries debriefing what was left of my arm. And towards the end there, they had informed me that there was really nothing left of my ulna artery. And I could try and save my hand, but it could be a 10-year process and there'd be no guarantee that I would ever have any function in it.
Yeah. So, especially for somebody who's a drummer and music was so central to your life, was that initially, was that initially devastating to you?
I mean, as you could think for anybody, losing a part of your body is completely devastating. Not only just with music, but, you know, I wasn't able to work that job anymore. I had essentially lost my house. I had to move back in with my mom for recovery. And yeah, the depression kicked in and you start to think of all these things that you can't do, especially playing music. And yeah, it kind of sent me into a deep, dark pit of depression that I eventually crawled out of.
Yeah, how long did that last for?
I would say, I mean, ultimately it took me, you know, a year or two to kind of really accept when it happened. But after about a month of being out of the hospital, I was so used to being busy, you know, playing in bands and working that I wasn't doing anything. And so all I had was, you know, my mind wandering. And so, yeah, I eventually got tired of feeling the way that I did and decided to do something about it.
And you took out the drum kit. And so when did you start? And did you have any, I assume you didn't have that much experience in terms of how to design a prosthetic or anything?
No, not at all. I grew up watching movies like Star Wars and Terminator and things like that. And so I was always fascinated by robotics and engineering. As a kid, you know, my favorite toy to play with was Legos. And so I loved building things. And yeah, I didn't really have any knowledge of it. I just understood basic engineering concepts and started to design a prosthesis to allow me to get back on the drums.
Yeah. And at the start, was that just ways of attaching the drumstick to your arm?
Yeah. So what happened is I had my drums were packed away in the garage, and I had unpacked them and set them up and decided that I was going to try and tape a drumstick to my stump, which still had bandages all over it, and proceed to play. And that was kind of the turning point there, me realizing that it was still possible. And then that's when the wheels started turning and I started trying to develop the first prosthesis, which was very crude. It was pretty much just this, we call it cheese plastic, but it's basically this plastic that you can mold while it's wet. And when it dries, it hardens up. And so I had formed kind of a makeshift crude prosthesis with my physical therapist. And that was really the start of figuring out how to design something that would be advanced and something that would allow me to actually play again.
Yeah. And when you got to that point, what were the technical challenges you had to overcome in terms of the design of the prosthetic?
So the second version, essentially, the one that actually allowed me to play, which I still use to this day occasionally, uses basic leverage points. And so instead of trying to recreate a hand, which is kind of hard, especially when you're trying to use it for something as dexterous as playing drums or keys or something like that, it makes more sense to develop something that just uses the basic leverage points. And so the device I developed essentially had a leverage point where the wrist would be and a leverage point where the fingers would be. And I essentially attached a spring from the back of the drumstick to where the wrist would be. And what it essentially allowed me to do is be able to get bounces. So I was able to play rudiments to a certain extent. Once we got to a certain speed, things like jazz with a pickup note kind of became difficult because I didn't have complete control over the grip strength of the stick.
Yeah, okay. But you do have a world record for the fastest drumming in the world. Was that with that prosthetic, or did you develop a further one?
So when I developed this first one, as I said, it had some limitations. I had enrolled in Atlanta Institute of Music, and during my time there, me and my teacher, Eric Sanders, had started talking about a better version and what I thought a better version would look like. And I explained that the use of robotics and electronics would be beneficial. And that's what led me ultimately into working with Georgia Tech and Professor Gil Weinberg at the Music Technology Department. And they develop artificially intelligent musical robots. So robots that you can turn on and jam with in real time. And I essentially needed an artificially intelligent musical robot attached to my arm. And so we developed a more advanced version that used EMG sensors, which stands for electromyography. It essentially, they're amplified by a battery, and that picks up the minute electrical signals from your residual limb to control the prosthesis accordingly. And so we developed a prosthesis that would allow me to control the grip strength. So essentially how I would with my normal hand, if I squeezed, the tighter the grip strength on the stick would be, the more I loosened my hand or extended, the looser the grip would be. So you could get triple strokes and different bounces.
Okay, that's quite high tech then.
Yeah, it was a learning curve and a long process, but it's still ongoing process right now. And when we had developed that, we figured why stop there? The technology has so many other capabilities, and so we decided to try and give me more than human abilities. And so we did things like implement MIDI control for the arm. And so you can actually input MIDI signals to it. It can also read sensor data, and you can do things like control external visuals. So I could use the sensor data in the drum arm to control visual aspects of my show, right?
Huh.
So yeah, we tried to get real experimental with it. And the way that it was set up, the motor that we used specifically had to be the size it was in order for me to be able to get velocity through the prosthesis. And what that it did is those motors, the way we had set them up, essentially can move insanely fast. And so we routed the EMG signals to the motors and allowed them to be able to pick up my muscles. And that allowed those motors to essentially play, I believe it was 2,400 beats per minute, which is roughly 20 hits per second. It's almost like a vibration.
Yeah. That's it. That's extraordinary. Jason, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That's Jason Barnes there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.